Ephesians chapter 6. In a moment, we'll read verses 10 through 14, and the sermon will be in verse 14. In order to stand against the wiles of the devil, we must be strengthened in the Lord, in the power of His might, putting on all the graces of Christ as all the parts of the armor of God. The first of these graces listed here in Ephesians 6, we studied last week. Stand against the wiles of the devil, girded about the loins with truth. No longer being deceived by your lusts into doing those evil things, which then you want to keep hidden because they are evil, but instead, knowing the truth about what the will of God is, repenting so as to act openly according to that truth, as does our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer being deceived by false teachers into believing wrongly, but instead knowing the truth about the law of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and believing in the Lord Jesus in all truth. Today, the second of these graces of Jesus Christ, which we put on to be strengthened in the Lord, to stand against the devil's schemes, we stand having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's start with righteousness defined. Righteousness, what is it? The Greek word is similar to our word righteousness in that you hear in the word righteousness first the word right, and then the word righteous, and finally the word righteousness, and the Greek word is similar. There is the word dike, meaning that which is right, and then dikeos, meaning righteous, and then dikeosune, meaning righteousness. Now, righteous and righteousness are right in the dictionary. I don't know about the latest version, but right in the 1828 Webster's, righteous is defined. Righteous means accordant to the divine law. In accord with the divine law. So that then righteousness is defined as conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Now, I wouldn't have read those definitions from Webster if I didn't believe that is indeed the very definition given in the scriptures, but I read those so as to get that out right up front. Righteous, according to the divine law, righteousness, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Because righteous and righteousness is the matter essentially of the whole Bible, you can go many places in the scriptures and understand what is meant in the Bible by righteous and righteousness. So that right here in Ephesians, we have that to come up more than once. It's easy to see what it means from the context right in Ephesians. Would you look with me at Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is righteous. Now, in a lot of our English translations, it says, for this is right. But that's to amount to the same thing, and the Greek word behind our word right there is many other places translated righteous. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, or this is righteous. And you see that the apostle means it is in conformity to the divine law, or it is in accordance, it is accordant to the divine law, because in the next verse, he says how you know it's righteous. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Because children obey your parents is a necessary application of one of the very 10 commandments, honor your father and mother, then you can know that for children to obey their parents is right. It is righteous. It is in keeping with the divine law. Now, I'll lead you at a further look at this in other places in Ephesians where it is not so plain, but still it comes across. I had you look at that one first because it's so very plain there. Ephesians chapter 4. Last week and this week, you noticed that we're looking back through Ephesians to gather in understanding for put on the whole armor of God. And I think that comes from the fact that the apostle, when he says, be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God, what he's doing is he's telling us what is necessary that we may actually live out what he has just written to us in this letter. So that we're hearing him urge on us in this figure of the armor of God, things that he has essentially already gone over in the letter. Here's what I have taught you. Now, to stand in it, put on the whole armor of God. And so he is essentially urging us to the things that he has already taught us. Ephesians 4, and I'm going to work with you here from the section that is verses 17 to 28. There is a listing of what righteousness is not. See in verse 19. 19 you see lewdness, all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 22, look what you see. You have the conduct of the old man according to deceitful lusts. Verse 26, verse 25, you have lying. Verse 26, you have sin brought about by anger. Verse 28, you have stealing, him who stole. Verse 29, you have corrupt speech, corrupt words proceeding out of your mouth. You see that he is disclaiming all of those things. He says that we should not be walking like that. And he says why. See in verse 22. You put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. So those things just listed are not righteousness. And now he's going to talk about what righteousness would be. Verse 25, putting away lying in order to speak the truth. Verse 26, not sinning in anger. Verse 28, not stealing any longer. Verse 29, putting away corrupt speech in order to speak what is good for building up others. So there's not in quite so plain a form, but still you can see it. What is righteousness? What is true righteousness? It is not all of this corrupt behavior, all of this lying and stealing, because righteousness is the putting away of lying to tell the truth, the putting away of stealing in order to work and give. Okay, so righteousness is accordance with God's law. It is compliance with God's law, conformity to God's law, keeping of God's law. Still here in Ephesians, going to chapter 5. We're going to see something similar. Again, righteousness defined in not quite so plain a way, but still you see it come out. Ephesians 5, verse 5. He's going to say, "For this you know, that no fornicator," fornication, "unclean person," uncleanness, "nor covetous man," coveting or covetousness, "who is an idolater," idolatry. You see, those things are not righteousness. Those are the things you are not to have any participation with. Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit," or the fruit of light, "is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." You are not to be involved in fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, and idolatry, because you are to be involved in true righteousness. And then going on to verse 10, "finding out or proving what is acceptable to the Lord." Instead of doing such things as fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, and idolatry, you instead are to be involved in true righteousness, which is to say, knowing what the will of the Lord is. These things are not the will of the Lord and are known not to be the will of the Lord. And that's not to characterize you. What's to characterize you is true righteousness, that is to say, what the will of the Lord is. Righteousness is accordance with the divine law, conformity of heart and life to God's law. Now, we'll venture outside of Ephesians for a moment to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, because here is a place where this definition of righteousness is just as plain as the nose on your face, okay? Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. This spot in the Bible serves to define righteousness very beautifully for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is it is the New Testament quoting the Old Testament. So there isn't any conflict Old Testament with New Testament, truly, rightly understood, but it just kind of helps as we inform ourselves to realize this is both Old Testament and New Testament. And then it puts it in the clearest terms. Hebrews 1, verses 8 and 9. "But to the Son," meaning the Messiah when he would come, to the Lord Jesus when he came, "but to the Son," he says, "your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness." Your translation may well say, "has hated wickedness," which that's an okay translation, but it misses something because the Greek word is anomia. Unlawness, lawlessness. So right here, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ loves righteousness, hates unlawfulness or lawlessness. So what if what he loves is righteousness and what he hates is unlawfulness, then clearly righteousness equals lawfulness. He hates law-breaking. He loves law-keeping, hates law-breaking. He hates it when there is non-conformity of heart and life to the law of God. And he loves it when there is conformity of heart and life to the law of God. So righteousness, accordance to God's law, conformity to God's law, keeping of God's law. For a person to love God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, that is righteousness. For a person to have no other gods but Yahweh, not to make for himself any likeness to bow down to or serve, for a person not to take the name of the Lord in vain, for a person to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, for a person to honor his father and his mother, for a person not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to bear false witness, not to covet anything that belongs to his neighbor. All of those things understood in all of their implications, all their applications, inside as well as outside, that is righteousness. And Christ on his throne loves righteousness. He loves the keeping of God's perfect law of love, and he hates any lawlessness or unrighteousness. So there's what we're talking about when we're saying righteousness. Now we talk often, and rightly so, about righteousness as imputed. Righteousness as imputed. Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness. He said to John the Baptist, that's what he was going about doing. I'm going to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And that's what he did his whole life on earth. He loved always, as God commands. He obeyed all the commandments, not only outwardly, but inwardly from the heart, in every thought and every word and everything that he did. He also took the punishment for lawbreakers upon himself on the cross, dying the death that the unrighteous, the lawless, the lawbreakers deserved. Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness. Now, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, that is, anyone who will trust in Jesus Christ, who has faith in Jesus Christ, has the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to him by God. So that righteousness imputed does not mean righteousness in the person who believes, but righteousness over him like a covering garment, like a robe. That righteousness of Christ imputed is not native to the person, but alien to him. That righteousness of Christ imputed to the believer is as to accounting or bookkeeping. It is righteousness not that he has earned, but that is credited to his account. That righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to the believer is as to legal judgment, a judgment of him having righteousness or being righteous. God counting a person righteous by imputation, by imputing the righteousness of Christ to him, is what we refer to as justification. God judging a person righteous by the imputation of Christ's righteousness is what we mean by justification. And the Bible teaches us, and praise God, ever since Martin Luther, we have understood this, that justification is through faith alone, not through works that we do, not through faith plus works that we do. It is through faith alone in Christ alone. That's what we mean by justification through faith. The imputation of the righteousness of Christ to the person who trusts in Christ. This is found in our Confession of Faith, the 1689 Second London Confession. If you want to look it up, it's chapter 11, paragraph 1. If you're interested enough to look it up, but you don't have it handy on your phone or something, it's in your Trinity Hymnal Baptist edition in the back. And this has its own chapter. I'll read to you from paragraph 1. Those whom God effectually calleth, he also freely justifieth. Not by infusing righteousness into them, but by pardoning their sins and accounting and accepting their persons as righteous. Not for anything wrought in them, worked in them, or done by them, but for Christ's sake alone. Not even imputing faith or the act of believing or any other evangelical obedience to them as their righteousness. You know, it's not you believed and your belief is your righteousness. Not you repented and your repentance is your righteousness. You know, not you prayed a prayer and your praying of that prayer is your righteousness. Not even that. But by imputing Christ's active obedience unto the whole law and passive obedience in his death for their whole and sole righteousness by faith. Which faith they have not of themselves, it is the gift of God. Okay? You might note there is a place in Ephesians where there is a question as to the interpretation of whether faith is the gift of God or whether the whole process is the gift of God. It is a matter of our confession of faith what the interpretation of that place in Ephesians is. We believe what Paul meant was faith is the gift of God. So there is, Paul writes to the Ephesians of putting on the whole armor of God. He is writing to those already having righteousness as imputed. These people already justified through faith. In the sense that imputation of righteousness is a clothing the believer in righteousness, that is a matter already done in the case of the Christians in Ephesus. And it is a matter that is impossible to be improved on. It's not partially done and needs to be more fully done. It is something completed already. When by the Holy Spirit God caused the person to have faith in Christ, he then imputed the righteousness of Christ to that believer once and for all completely. So that's a done deal, as they say, when Paul writes to the Ephesians. All of that I just talked about, imputation of righteousness, righteousness by imputation, I do not take to be what Paul means here when he says, having put on righteousness as a breastplate. I do not take him to mean righteousness of Christ imputed to the believer. Let me explain to you why I would say that. This list of graces, which is here called the whole armor of God, is not a list of things that we would say are not worked in us by the Holy Spirit, but are only counted to us. We talked last week about truth, and we would not say that we believe truth, as Paul says here, gird about the loins with truth. We would not think that he means by that, you have no truth of the kind I'm talking about in you. It has not been worked in you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not in you working to produce truth and have you live by truth. We're only talking about the truth of Jesus Christ counted as truth for you. That's not what we think he means when he says, girded about the loins with truth. Other places where he makes lists of virtues, he lists things that we clearly do not think he means, something the Holy Spirit is not working in us, but something that's of Christ and only counted for us. Let me point you to some things like that. I'll look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll read to you from verses 3 to 7. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 to 7. You'll see by the end that he's making a similar list. 2 Corinthians 6, 3. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By the time he's said, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, you realize he's saying something very similar to what he's telling us in Ephesians 6. Here he has put in this list patience, kindness, and love. And we don't imagine that he means the patience of Jesus Christ imputed to us. We are then showing ourselves the servants of Christ by the fact that we are not patient ourselves, but Christ is patient and that's counted for us. He doesn't mean that. He means you have seen us exhibit patience. And therefore, that commends us to you as servants of Christ who is himself perfectly patient. They mention kindness. And Paul doesn't mean we commend ourselves to your conscience as true servants of Christ by the fact that we have shown no kindness. We have no kindness in us. The Holy Spirit is not causing us to be kind, but Jesus Christ is kind and that's counted for us, and therefore you should see clearly that we are the ministers of Christ. That's not at all what he's saying. He is saying that you have seen us be kind when others are not being kind to us. You have seen the kindness of Christ worked out in us, and therefore you should understand we are the true servants of Christ because he is perfectly kind and we his servants are exhibiting kindness. And the same thing with love. They don't at all mean we admit we have no love in ourselves and we are not loving and we do not love. But we commend ourselves as true servants of Christ because the love of Christ is counted to us. That's not at all what he means. He's making this list of graces as something that is the work of the Spirit of Christ in us, producing these things that you can then see as evidence we are the true servants of Christ. And in that list, he puts the armor of righteousness. And so I don't think he means there in that list that you can see that we have on righteousness, not meaning we ever act righteous. We never act righteous. We have no righteousness at all because we mean the imputation of righteousness. He doesn't at all mean that. He means we commend ourselves to you as servants of Christ because you can see that we live as righteous. There is in our life the demonstration of righteousness. Jesus Christ is righteous. He's working in us by his Spirit that we also are righteous. I'll refer you to something similar in the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Here the Apostle Paul makes another list of virtues and again brings up the theme of conflict or fighting. This time he doesn't mention armor, he just says, fight the good fight. And he lists some of the same things that you see listed as the armor of God, including righteousness. And he's telling Timothy to pursue these things. You, O man of God, flee these things, meaning the things previously mentioned, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, fight the good fight. Now, I don't think that he means by that, when he lists there patience, I don't think he means pursue the imputation of Christ's patience. I think what he means is pursue actual patience. Seek to become more and more patient. And when he says gentleness, I don't think he means try to have the gentleness of Christ imputed to you. I think what he means is pursue righteousness, that is, actual righteousness in your conduct, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, because by these you may fight the good fight. All right, so I've made a very brief argument to you that although we glory in the imputation of Christ's righteousness, so that when we stand before God for a reckoning in accounting terms, all our deficit appears to be gone because the righteousness of Christ has been credited to us. We glory in that and praise the Lord for it. When we stand before Him in a legal sense for judgment, all our rebellion against Him, all our sins, all covered by the righteousness of Christ, so that we're judged righteous rather than judged guilty. Imputed righteousness of Christ, justification through faith, praise God for it. But I don't think that's what Paul means when he makes a list of graces that we are to pursue or demonstrate or put on that we may then fight the good fight or stand against the devil. When he makes such a list, he must be talking about the actual work of the Holy Spirit in us producing fruit that then is seen active in our conduct. That's what I take him to mean in this place by righteousness. Righteousness as imparted or infused. You heard in our confession that when talking about righteousness imputed unto justification, we deny that that is righteousness infused he's talking about. When we go to stand before God, we do not want to be judged on the basis of how well righteousness has taken hold in our life. That would not go well. We're not talking about righteousness infused by the Spirit when we're talking about imputed righteousness for justification through faith. But here when Paul is talking about this list of graces that we are to put on as armor, that we may be commended to people as servants of Christ, that we are to pursue, that we may then fight the good fight, that we are to put on as armor, that we may stand against the devil, he's just not talking about imputed righteousness. He is talking about righteousness infused, righteousness imparted. The work of the Holy Spirit of Christ in us. By righteousness here, the apostle means the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not as imputed to the Christian, but as imparted to the Christian, as infused into the Christian, by the work of the Holy Spirit in him, in us. The work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration makes us delight in the law of God in the inner man. Now, righteousness is conformity to the law of God. And in regeneration, the Holy Spirit of Christ causes us to delight in the law of God in the inner man. In the work of illumination, the Holy Spirit in us causes us to understand the law of God, to understand the commands of Christ, so that we don't think love your neighbor means draw a circle around certain people close to you and love them and hate everyone else. No, the Holy Spirit works in us that we can understand the commands of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the power behind the mortification of the flesh, that we may no longer live in obedience to the desires of the flesh, but in obedience to the law of Christ, to the law of God. Living in righteousness, doing such things as honoring father and mother, which we do because it's righteous. So in this place, the Apostle Paul is speaking to us of righteousness as imparted, as worked in us, as producing fruit in us, as fruit produced in us. Now, I have just said my piece as to a long-standing controversy. You know, think this, when you first look at this, you think, well, does he mean righteousness of Christ counted for me? Or does he mean like actual living righteously? That question occurs to the mind immediately. Matter of fact, when I went and read, that occurred to me and I was inquiring, went and read in B.H. Carroll, and the first line in his section on that was, you know, this naturally brings forth the question, righteousness imputed or righteousness imparted? And all of the commentators acknowledge that is a question. And so I went reading, and there are people, good people that we love and read and trust and appreciate, who would, you know, just look at me and say, you know, well, that was ridiculous. No, of course it's righteousness imputed we're talking about. But I don't agree with that at all. I think that he must be talking about righteousness imparted. Some of the people you read, they say, he's talking about righteousness in both aspects, as imputed and as imparted. And I thought a lot about that, and I don't think that's right. Not that righteousness imputed is not always on our mind, but I think he's talking here about righteousness imparted. The breastplate of righteousness then defined. I say that the breastplate of righteousness, as Paul conceives it here and is teaching it to us, is the constant endeavor by the Christian to know and obey the will of God as expressed in the scriptures in his perfect law. Or the lifestyle of obedience to the commands of Jesus Christ. The mindset of evaluating what you think and say and do by the divine law of love as set forth in the Ten Commandments and more broadly in the whole Bible. So judge in your conscience that the thing to do is to set yourself to knowing and doing what is right according to the law of God, according to the commands of Christ. Then determine in your will to do whatever is righteous and not to do whatever is lawless, and you will find that you have put on the breastplate of righteousness. You will then take your stand having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We have just studied through this letter of Ephesians. Now, you know there's a lot more to the Bible, but the apostolic letters, most of them like Ephesians, gather in a lot of the main themes that are taught in the whole Bible. So that when we've studied through Ephesians, we've got a real strong summary of the whole Christian faith in what we have learned. I say that to put on righteousness as a breastplate is to agree in your conscience that what you have just been taught is true. And what you have just been taught is right conduct is right. And then determine in your will that that is going to be how you live. That how God has just, what God has taught you is true about yourself as a sinner and Him as full of grace and Christ as Savior. That what you've been taught is right. And anything that went against it would have to be wrong. And believe in your conscience that what you've been commanded to do, that's what's right and necessary to do. And what you've been prohibited doing, you mustn't do. agree with that in your conscience, that that is righteousness, and determine in your will that that righteousness, that's what you're going to do. Now, think of the man or woman or child, the man or woman or child placed in a blessed position by the grace of God. That is to say, has been taught the truth about the grace of God worked out in the salvation of sinners through Jesus Christ. Been taught that truth and understand it. They've been taught what's right to do and what's wrong to do. They've been taught that. But then they're not going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Here's somebody who's heard all of this, and up until this point in their life, really has not put on the breastplate of righteousness in that sense. Yeah, they've heard all of this, but life has gone on pretty much as before. Patterns of sin just kind of go on essentially the same. What you really think to be true? Well, yeah, you've heard all this said, but it hasn't really changed your mind much. The person not putting on the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says, Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's never really been their way of living, and they're not going to make it their way of living now. They're just not going to put it on. That would be righteous. They're not going to do that. They're not at all agreed that that is what must be done, and they're not at all determined to do it. The breastplate of righteousness not put on. Ephesians 4:25, put away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's not been their way of living. They've basically not dealt in truth, not minded telling lies, and they're just going to stay that way. That command, do not tell any more lies, speak truth to your neighbor. They really do not agree that that's what must be, and they're not really determined to do it. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, they've always before gotten angry when they had any excuse to do so, gotten angry quickly, stayed angry long, been angry much too intensely, and it lasted for however long. And that's their pattern of life, and they somewhat enjoy it. And really, they're not going to agree that that's wrong. And they're not determined to do what's right. No breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 4:28, let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may give something to those who have in need. That's not really been his way in the past. He has really, pause if you please. We're talking about the person who's heard the truth. No right to Jesus Christ, the doctrine right to commit the law, which isn't to put on his arm. He's in a walk of healing and work hard to predict. Just know that. Ephesians 4, let the corrupt person out of it. What is good for the sacrifice that may part of the healing? This person is going to a very control of God, where I say only good for healers. That's necessary. Not going to do that. Not only are right. It's 4:32, that old bitterness and anger evil be paid for you with all it. Be kind and hard for one another, even God's for you. Well, not just walk. Still, plenty of bitterness and evil be forgiving and kind and really curious of you. And you can, I'm just don't think it's necessary to be without all that. You're not going to just arm. It's 5:34, okay, all clean service. Not need a moment as for things. Filthiness, not your court, yes, or not, but to give thanks. Taught there that in that Persian, effort in outward decomposition, whatever it takes, just to put it on the Christian life in the light church. Exactly. And it's giving. And so wish I that for that. That, how do we live like that? They've all lived like being a having sex is a long as a secret fair word. That's in your way, in the way of sin. Just don't call. By command of Christ. Just keep. And keep it. No. Well, what you're doing there, you're not putting on a split right now. If he's fighting to be one, which is patient, he's fully some before him being with one of life's problems, so I'm in sort of, leave something. Now heard there'd be danger with one in the Christian church. Just really buy that. No.
I agree. People didn't maybe too. Gonna go. Just no traditional should be that way. No traditional. That's the way. Not on the bread of rest. If you find it, speak to one other hymn, spiritual song, singing in your heart, giving thanks for the faith of our Jesus Christ. Me, heart on the Lord. Speak homes and spiritual on their pull in the direction. I wouldn't be right. Well, I just got to sing out on whatever. Just sign. That's you. It's cut by the Lord's Christ, but solid in a fusion. And though you're gonna do just go on before. What you there is, I'm gonna bond the play righteous. Con would be not good. I'm not on the rest of right. No, it's done. Finding one meeting another fear God. First, sing to us. And some hear the blood of her that me. That those is into this man, as into the one is just the husband, but just it's Sarah, who when she was of her husband, heard to his her Lord, made her husband. You know, and that made her beautiful. The wife is to have hold that to the end of Christ, but the wife might decide, I don't that's at least, just that was what the system some other told by them and my ideas are. And do it. Blessed aid of her, the command, she don't do it. You should, using on breath of just learn to pass, you know, you child do to his parents. Also, not you to do her wage on her father and a child that's barren, but some person who just, yeah, better so my parents are better, or, you know, just sort of use you think, right, not necessarily rights to a parent, could be right to a parent. And the turn to do it. You do refuse to breath late. Did Jesus pay his parents? Yeah. Is they were more holy than was better so well? Parents as their parents, I just do. Since to matters the same. If 5:29. Now, husband to life, own bonds, loves wife, no one hate own, but very sure he just as does share to the husband who to his wife. But some husband, he's really a like wife, and have that he should, just really stir, because often you take lazy war. And he's just consensual, that's has for his true rights, and he's not did it to his way. He's just kind of doing the poison, maybe slow occasion thing. You know, what then is, if you put on those places, first, a per children have, bring up in the end of the world, there's a lot of men, or a lot of men, think question. They still don't know any better than to do nothing that provoke their who are ready. And foolish children, just post children at all. Not them of virtue. And honest Lord, he given doubt of prophet to men live that. Either it's right or maybe always live that. Well, no, Christian position having taught right to be ready toward children instead to add them, nurture them in the Lord. If their hand is too familiar, too weird, as pleasant, I don't think that's what I do. I do it. You know, that brother is refused to on his pleasures. Masters, treat your sons according to what it not by threatening, but treating them as first as one himself, servant master in heaven. And just can buddy self place to person. Just one change, you know. Honestly, when I say that's, and that's true, that in talk of how you operate, we're in church. The few to righteous of the righteousness of Christ has a split. Imagine that brother and has laced blood by Christ. Play a thief, hunter, and has laced shirtless order, you know. And has laced, you know, personal kind of index of body in Christ, no right, but that person. She won't put on the rest of us. Their attitude toward life, none to me. This is what according to the concept for that's must do. That's not be their life. Deep inside, they love God. They're not going back, or they're just saying, I'm not this. You know, wise of all are work. The darts are to touch. Webs of it are your and spear. The sir with fingering is vital midsection. Is certain another vital organ just echoes to him. Gonna get into the spire art, do we? Most it was the hole they're gonna take into fall or leave. And it's gonna be this disaster in your life. This disaster your family, this disaster his church. Because you're a surprise of Christ. That's leap, you know, but a Christian puts on the kick of Christ. My flesh, my bit against in the way what else I'm the world's there. It's on against me, there against on but I'm going them on. It's righteous. It's in harmony with its hands here in this place. I'm putting on. I'm low and gentle, bear their love, keep unity spirit. Sure. I'm play speak true. I'm good sin, I feel to end, not do anything, but I know where it may pay to give. I'm good my tongue, cord cut, but on what's full. Earnest, and envy, all that put away, that may be in tender heart giving. For none can this matter sex, for I'm going to complete my life, substitute the king of thanks. I'm not going wrong, but I'm going to be able to hear it. I'll be able to one in psalms and spirit song, give thanks. Just as for life has wilderness to Mr. When I were in an idle, less loved church, I will prove those each have, will be by it, of your admin in lore. A whole house level, sending thou in conformity to law. Think the whole family peace so armored with restlessness. Think the church, he also all armored with such business. There, blows from the glass off. There, why the devil have no ill effect. There, all sin who, not seeing men and women drop and fall out, right, but all sting. Not seeing them ring away, flee, but keep their gun. And it's all low, wound, there they end, in the place the Lord brought into. And also the Lord come back, there stand, and are made fit. That it be not the soul struggling life rightness, but then the Christ will perhaps have moved the body raised her up, that he may live completeness of Christ for all eternity. There's putting it, which is resting, depending on a king with all kinds, these that I taught her, they are right and I must actingly determine cons. That's what we'll do. Feeding to Christ, putting all heaven on the playwrights. Finally, brethren, draw on the linen of the night. Put on all of God, that he stands while the we just look like blood against palaces, against the root darts of the church, against ritual silks and venlis. Therefore, take up the whole of God, and you will just in having all to stay there. In good way with truth, having put on the state of righteousness. Amen. Pray.